myself is that we would be drawn nearer to the Lord each and every day. And this is the struggle, I think, that we find ourselves in, because we fight against our own flesh and we fight against the devil. He doesn't want us to draw nearer. And so we need to be involved in that battle. And I'm looking forward on Wednesday nights. We're studying together the armor of God. And we started last Wednesday looking at the good battle and kind of the overview of the battle. We'll continue that next Wednesday and continue to look at each Wednesday the different parts of the armor of God and how they are important for our Christian life. I know it's a long weekend. I'm not going to be super long tonight, but I do want to talk about, I think it's an important ministry, and that's the ministry of a teacher. And I'm not talking about a teacher that's in a school, though that's an important ministry as well, but I'm talking about a spiritual teacher. And I think we are all influencers in the things of the Lord. I think we are all spiritual teachers, whether we're dads, moms, grandparents, you know, we work in a Sunday school class, or we have neighbors. The reality is that we're imparting spiritual truths. And so I want to give you some principles tonight that will help us to be the best spiritual teacher that we can be for the Lord. Before I do that, I want to give you a definition of teaching. This is given to us by Edward Thring, and he writes that teaching is the communication of life from the living to the living. Now, this is interesting because this is just a broad definition of teaching, and I think it's an accurate definition of teaching, because what we are doing is we are speaking of life and we are teaching about life. I think when it comes to spiritual or a spiritual teacher, we could say that a spiritual teacher is the communication of life from the dying to the dying. You know, we can look at it from an eternal perspective, that we are all one day going to be in eternity, and we want people to know the Word of God and truth. And so we want people to know what the Bible has to say. And whether, again, if that's our children, whether it's coworkers, neighbors, whether it's within the church context, we want people to know what God has to say. The teacher is someone found throughout the Bible. Maybe you've heard about the preacher who was visiting various classes during the Sunday school hour to see how each class was doing. And one Sunday, he visited the class of sixth grade boys, and they were talking about things in the Old Testament. And he listened for a while, and then he asked them the question. He said, "Young men," he said, "who knocked down the walls of Jericho?" And two boys answered, "Preacher, we don't know who, but it wasn't us." And so we find in the Bible teachers in a positive way, and we also see teachers in a negative way. I want to show you in the Bible the negative use of teacher. Can we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4? 2 Timothy chapter 4. And notice what the Bible says here. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." People who want teachers who will allow them or teach them what they want to hear will abound. And I know that in our day today, that whatever someone wants to believe, whatever someone wants to do, they can find a teacher that would agree with that lifestyle. They can find a teacher that will teach those principles or those thoughts. And the Bible says it is those who chase after their own flesh, who chase after their own desires. They feed their own desires, and they are looking for teachers that will direct them in that way, that will ease their conscience, we could say. And Paul says these are corrupt teachers, and these are teachers who are leading many astray. And so this is a negative view of a teacher. And we never want to be so carried away within ministry or within teaching, that we are more concerned about the external and not the truth. We stand for the truth. This is what the truth is. And there will be those who will not like the truth. There will be those who won't agree with the truth. And there will be those that will fight against the truth. But we still preach the truth. Now, James chapter 3, can we turn there? James chapter 3. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. James chapter 3. And the very first verse, James chapter 3, verse number 1. The King James Bible uses a different word here for teacher, but it means teacher. It says in verse 1, "My brethren, be not many teachers or masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." And so there is greater judgment in being an instructor and in being a teacher. Master there is the word there that's used in the Bible to speak of instructor or speak of teacher. Jesus is called Master in John chapter 20 and verse number 16. Let's turn there, actually. John chapter 20 and verse number 16. John chapter 20 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "Jesus said unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master," which is to be master or teacher. And this was an honorable, most honorable of all titles. It meant teacher or instructor. And Jesus, of course, was their master, was their teacher, was their instructor. And so the Bible says, you know, you ought not to desire this position of a master or a teacher. Understand that you will receive the greater condemnation. Now remember, we're speaking of spiritual terms here and being a spiritual teacher. And so the Bible gives caution here to be careful what you teach and how you lead, because the teacher will receive the greater condemnation or the greater judgment. I will stand before the Lord and give an account for what I preach and what I teach. You won't stand before the Lord on my behalf and stand before him in what I teach and what I preach. I will stand before the Lord, and I must give an account of that. And so we must be careful to follow that pathway of a teacher and understand that though we all have influence, one day we will stand before the Lord. So I want to give you some principles here tonight in this idea of being a spiritual teacher to help encourage us, that we would be, you know, what the Lord would have us to be in this way of being a teacher. Number one, let's think about his life for a moment, the life of a teacher. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 37. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 37. The Bible says, verse 37, Luke 6, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they both not both fall into the ditch? The disciple," verse number 40, "the disciple is not above his master." There's that word again, which speaks of teacher. "But everyone that is perfect," or everyone that is mature, "shall be as his master." Now, note here who the blind are. And this is important. There are two thoughts here of who the blind are. First of all, the blind is illustrated as the leaders, the teachers themselves, the preachers. These are people who are influencers. I hate to use that word today, influencers, because it has a very high social media tendency in our world today. But the reality is, it is those who have influence and the responsibility of being a teacher, or those who are responsible for others, those who are overseeing others. And so the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that the blind speak of the leaders of the day. Alan, can you turn my monitor down? It's giving me an echo. It is indeed speaking of those who are teachers, who have influence. And so we need to observe the significance of this, that these are the blind, but also the blind listed here, it's the blind leading the blind. And so not only is the blind the teachers, but also the blind, don't miss this, are the followers. The followers are also the ones who are described here as the blind, the pupil, the learner, the listener, the seeker. They're the ones that are also defined here as being the blind. And they are the ones who are looking for guidance. They're the ones that don't have the answers. They're the ones who are looking for direction in their life. Jesus saw the multitude, the Bible says, and he was moved with compassion. Why? Because they were sheep without shepherds. They were lost. They were going astray. They didn't have guidance. They didn't have direction. They were the blind. And so Jesus defines here for us that the blind are these teachers, but also they are leading the blind. And what is the conclusion that Jesus says? He says they both will end up in the ditch. They both won't get to the destination. Think about that for just a moment. They won't get to where they need to be because the teacher is blind and the student is blind. Both of them will end up in the ditch. And so what instruction do we have for the teacher and his life? Well, first of all, I think it goes without saying that he must have the truth and he must lift up the truth. In order for a teacher not to be a blind teacher, he must know the truth and he must declare the truth. And this goes without saying. But also, I think there's some truths here for the teacher and for the life of the spiritual influencer. I think, first of all, we must be the right example. We must be the right example when it comes to being a teacher. Now, Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1, can we turn there in our Bible? I think this is an important verse. Acts chapter 1, and notice what the Bible says here. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1. And notice here the message that is given about our Savior. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former treatise which I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, look at this, to do and teach. Jesus began to do and teach. You see, you cannot separate the actions of the teacher from the message of the teacher. Well, you can, but you shouldn't. And the Bible says that Jesus acted and he taught. Jesus acted and he taught through those actions. Sometimes the greatest message that you can speak, and I'm not a one for, you know, lifestyle evangelism where you never give the gospel, you only live the gospel. I think it has its place, but I don't think it replaces words, and I think it's important for us to preach the word and those things. But sometimes the only time we can preach the gospel to someone is through the life we live. Someone said that you may be the only Bible that someone ever reads. And, you know, we need to be the right example of what it means to be a Christian. Someone said this, we must be the right example. We must be able to say, follow me as I follow the Lord. We must be able to follow me as I love the Lord. Follow me as I serve the Lord. And it's important for us to be that example. Titus chapter 2, can we turn there? Let's look at it as far as the context of the local church now. The context of the local church. Titus chapter 2, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. Titus chapter 2, and notice Paul's advice here for this young preacher, Titus chapter 2. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, Titus chapter 2, verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity and patience." Now, why is it important in the church for the aged men to live this type of way? Because they are teachers. They are examples. The Bible says, "And aged women likewise, that they be in good behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine." Look at this. Teachers of good things. Of good things. The reality is that we are teaching the next generation the blessing of the Christian life. And I thank you for your influence in the lives of my children. I thank you for you being a teacher to them. You know, we are all teachers, and we are teaching each other. Tonight, we are teaching each other faithfulness. We are teaching each other worship of the Lord and excitement to sing hymns. We are teachers. We are influencing for the Lord. And I think it's important in the context of the church. And so, first of all, we must be a good example. Number two, we must be faithful. We must be faithful. Now, Paul gave Timothy great instructions. He said this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to read it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And notice what the Bible says. I think this is just incredible what Paul said. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. He says, "Thou therefore, my son," now that's a spiritual son, not his physical son. "Thou therefore, my son," he says, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." Not the most educated, not the most talented. Paul said, Timothy, give it to faithful men. Look at this, "that they may be able to teach others also." Isn't that incredible as we think about what we all can be? We all can be faithful with what God has given to us. We all can be faithful with where we are in the Christian life. And he says, Timothy, give it to faithful men that they may be able to teach others also. A strong connection in this verse between teachers and between the faithful people. You know, I just think it's important for us to understand the importance of faithfulness. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Faithful. It's so important for us to be faithful. Someone said this, "like a star that shines afar, without haste and without rest, let each man wheel with steady sway round the task that rules the day, and do his best, and do his best." God, help us today to be faithful. That's what God requires in the stewardship of our life, is faithfulness. Philippians chapter 3, can you turn there with me? Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 17. Philippians chapter 3. And notice what the Bible says in verse 17. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Paul said this to the church at Philippi, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them that walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Be faithful. Be faithful. I think thirdly, we must be prepared. We must be prepared. Paul said, "to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." This is empty talk. This is discouraging words, foolishness. that lead to emptiness. We are to be teachers of the truth. Again, I'm talking about spiritual teachers here. And we are to be spiritual teachers, teachers of the truth. And if we're going to do that, we need to know our Bible. We need to know the truth. We need to pray and ask God to help us and the Spirit of God to guide us and direct us. But I think not only are we to be prepared, and often when we think about that, we think of studying, but this involves more than just studying. Being prepared involves more than just being a studier of the Bible. I think we need to be prayed up. I think we need to be in touch with God. I think there are times in our life where God leads us to certain people and we have opportunity to be a blessing and a help to them. And I think we need to be sensitive to the Spirit's directing in our life. And so I think it's important for us to know God. I think it's important for us to have a relationship with God. I think we have to be careful not to become indifferent in the Christian life and to be indifferent in this idea of being an influence for the Lord. We need to love people and we need to love God. And I think that this preparation involves those things, not just studying, but also walking with the Lord. And so not only do I notice the life of the teacher, secondly, I want us to notice the message of the teacher. And of course, as a spiritual teacher, our message is truth. And, as we declare truth, we are to be a messenger of the truth. And this is no hidden agenda. This is to promote the Word of God and to promote God's truth. And if this is the case, if we are spiritual teachers and we are promoting truth, then there's some important things we have to make sure are true for us. Number one, we cannot be ashamed of the message. We cannot be ashamed of the message. Can we turn to 2 Timothy once again and look what the Bible says in verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Now, it would be my understanding that Timothy is in a spiritual struggle here. And it seems like to me he's distancing himself from Paul. And he is becoming ashamed of the ministry in which he set forth. He's in Ephesus as a pastor. There's some troubles. There's some false teachers involved. And he's having a hard time. And here, Paul is encouraging Timothy to stand for the truth and to remember. He says, remember the putting on of my hands, or the calling that is upon your life, this calling to preach, this calling to ministry. He says in verse number 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But be not thou therefore, verse 8, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who have saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and an immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things." Look at this. "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." I think it goes without saying that a teacher cannot be ashamed of the message that he teaches. Paul said here that God ordained me a teacher. And the message that I preach, I am confident, changes lives. He writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." How many of you have ever heard of the daily bread? You've heard of the daily bread? I read this in the daily bread a while ago. I was, I forget where I was. I grabbed one anyway. They had a table and they were free, and I grabbed one and I started reading it. And I read this and I wrote it down. And I want to read it to you. This is what they said. "Are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you ashamed to put a Bible on your desk at work? Are you ashamed to bow your head in prayer in the cafeteria? Are you ashamed to invite people to Jesus Christ? Let me say it once more. Are you ashamed of the one who died for you?" They say a little boy had a dog, and somebody asked him what kind of dog it was. And the little fellow said, "Well, it's a police dog. It's a police dog." And everyone could see that it was just a small doodle, and it didn't look like a police dog at all. And to which one of the friends replied, "It doesn't look like a police dog." And the little guy said, "Well, he's in the Secret Service." I think a lot of Christians think that they're in the Secret Service. But you cannot be in the Secret Service if you're going to be a spiritual teacher. You must be confident in the message that you preach. You cannot be ashamed. You must boldly stand up and preach the truth. But I think also, again, not only can we not be ashamed of the message, but I think we have to have confidence in the message. Paul put it this way. He says, "For I know whom I have believed." Notice he didn't say, "I know what I believe." He said, "I know whom I have believed." His confidence, his faith was in God. And he looked to the Lord. Now, I'm told that if you're going to be a good salesperson, that you have to believe in the product that you're selling. Nobody's going to sell you a set of encyclopedias if they don't believe that those encyclopedias will change your life. That if you don't buy these encyclopedias, your life will be terrible. But if you buy these encyclopedias, your life will never be the same. A good salesperson believes in the product that they sell. And so the question is, do you believe what you preach? Do you live what you preach? You know, I believe that God saves a soul. I believe that God can change a sinner. He can change a life. I believe God can still change a life. I believe that God can make us free. I believe that God can fix your marriage. I believe that God can give you hope. I believe that God can put you on the right direction in your life. I believe that God has the answer. He can set you free. We must have confidence in whom we believe, that it is God who makes the difference. Look what the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13. Look what the scriptures say here. Acts 4 verse 13. The Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," this is the fourth chapter of the book of Acts now, verse number 13. "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men." Now, that doesn't mean that they weren't smart individuals. It just means that they weren't schooled in the Sanhedrin, that they weren't Pharisees under that sect of religion, that they weren't educated the way that they were educated. You know, the world would say that you're unlearned and ignorant if you believe in creation. And that's how they saw Peter, that they were unlearned and ignorant. And the Bible says when they perceived, they marveled, verse number 13, "and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They realized there was something different about these men because they walked with Jesus. And the Bible says that they could not say anything against it because they had reflected the light and the love of God. And that, I believe, is what truly makes a difference in people's lives. It's not only to preach the love of God, but it's also to love people like God loves people. I think it makes a difference. Not only the life and the message, but I want us to look lastly, and I'll be done here tonight, their influence. Their influence. A teacher, as I said at the beginning, can influence for evil, and a teacher can also influence for good. It was at Mount Vernon, Dr. D.L. Moody became part of a Sunday school class taught by Edward Kimball. On April the 21st, 1855, Kimball visited the Holton shoe store and found Moody in the stock room, and there he spoke to him of the love of Christ. Shortly after, Moody accepted that love, the love of God, and devoted his life to serving the Lord. We have opportunities to impact people's lives for eternity. And this is the influence that we have with the gospel. And I want us to understand it's not about us. It's about the one who changes lives. We get to allow God to work through us, the Spirit of God to work through us. Like we sang, channels only. It's God's working through us. Can I read some verses here? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Can we turn there once again to 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 1. And notice what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Therefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, as we read before, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I find in this scripture a teacher, a spiritual teacher, and I find in this scripture a student. And you can tell that Paul, the teacher, loved the student and invested his life in Timothy. You can tell the compassion. You can tell the concern that Paul had for Timothy, and you can also read the encouragement that he's giving to Timothy to keep on going, keep running the race, Timothy, keep on moving forward. It's the godly influence that we have, the opportunities that we have to be a blessing to others. Philippians chapter 2, let me read it to you. You don't have to turn there, but notice Paul's influence with the church at Philippi. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that's Timothy, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. I think we have a great opportunity to be a spiritual teacher in the lives of people. And this sometimes is a kind word. This sometimes is a faithful testimony, a genuine love for God, which leads, by the way, to a genuine love for other people, a desire to teach the Bible and to know the Bible and to live a godly life. I think sometimes when you go through very difficult times, when you go through hardships in your life and people see God's faithfulness in your life, you could teach other people that God's grace is real and true and that they can also overcome. And so God, help us tonight to be faithful in what God has called us and where God has brought us. And God, help us today to be a teacher, a spiritual teacher that honors the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful for its exhortation, its encouragement. And I pray, Lord, that you would help each of us here tonight, Lord, to do your will, to follow your purpose and plan for our life. We're grateful, Lord,